It's like whenever those moments get big, like your heart's beating, you might be nervous, but it's literally a moment where you look at the pitcher or you look at the hitter and you go, I'm gonna win this. And no matter what, I'm gonna get a hit. No matter what, she won't get on base. And having that literal self-talk in your head and turning on that switch and going, all right, game on, here we go. And
hey, I'm Ashley Agle. Some of you might know me as Ashley Burkhart, and I'm a former D1 and professional softball player who spent a few years coaching in the college game before deciding to put all of my focus into youth softball players and helping them make their dreams and their goals happen for them. It's our job to help them unleash their potential and become the athletes they've always dreamt of. I come from a small city in the Midwest and didn't let that stop me from making my goal of playing D1 softball a reality. No matter where you live, you have the tools to help you thrive, and I am hoping through this podcast to help you get there. On this podcast, you'll learn from Olympians, Hall of Fame coaches, and elite players what their journeys have been like, and you'll also learn from me and my family a bit of our journey through the game. I'm so excited to have you here, so whip out your notebook and let's learn how we can grow in this game together. Welcome to When the Cleats Come Off. Welcome back, or welcome to another episode of When the Cleats Come Off. I'm so excited about today's guests. I'm always excited about my guests on the show, but this true lefty utility from Houston, Texas has me very, very excited. Nicole Mendez played at the University of Oklahoma from 2017 to 2021, where she was named to the 2017, 2019, and 2021 Women's College World Series All-Tournament Team. She was a 2017 Big 12 Freshman of the Year. She's second in Oklahoma softball history for triples with 15, and she played in 23 Women's College World Series games, and that is the most ever by a player at Oklahoma. Mendy is on the show today, and in this episode, you're going to learn what it's been like for her calling the very first game at Love's Field this year. There's a brand new stadium at Oklahoma, and she shares that experience. She talks a bit about her softball journey and the power of surrounding yourself with people who are ahead of you in the game, why she chose to play at the University of Oklahoma, even though she thought she wanted to go to a program to help build it. She shares some recruiting tips and key questions she asked college coaches to get to know their programs better, the culture of Oklahoma softball, and why she believes Coach Gasso is able to repeat successes year after year after year after year. I could just keep going. She also talks about the challenges that she faced her freshman year at Oklahoma and how her teammates helped her get through the overwhelm that so many freshman athletes in college face. She talks about her competitive mindset and self-talk that she uses to help her shine and love the biggest moments. She also talks about the lessons that her parents taught her that helped shape her into the competitor she is today, and a bit of what she's up to now as a professional athlete, a broadcaster, and you know there's so much more in this episode. So let's welcome OU standout, Team Mexico Olympian, and just one of the most humble and amazing players in our sport, Nicole Mendez, aka Mendy, to the show.
Let's go. Technology didn't want this interview to happen today, Nicole, but I am so happy that you're here, Mendy. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. I'm so glad that we prevailed through the wind, through technology, through all the craziness, through Bluey. Everything's on.
Yeah. We're here. The baby's watching Bluey in the other room. We'll just see what happens. Let's go. So excited about all of the things that you're up to. I mean, you're hosting a podcast, you're broadcasting, especially with broadcasting. You got to broadcast the very first game for Oklahoma softball, like at their new stadium, Love's Field. Yeah. Take me through that day. I need to know from start to finish.
Emotions, high, awe, even higher. Like, it was just an incredible day. I laughed to myself because I was like, man, if I couldn't play on it, I'm going to at least call the first game on it. You know, I've got to get something in there. I didn't do my time for nothing, but I just think reflecting that morning going into that game, it's just so cool what Coach Gasso has been able to do with an incredible staff, incredible athletes throughout the years of starting at Reese Field, which is like a city park. And then she moves across the street. She gets to Marita Hines. And at that time, it was like, wow, this is really cool. And then outgrows it for well over 20 years. And then being able to get Love Stadium built. And now she's in Love's Field. She settled in. They're still tweaking it. But like, man, the moment when I got to walk in, it looks to me, it was just like a moment of like, wow, this looks professional. This looks like a professional, obviously size to scale, but a professional baseball stadium. This looks legit. This looks like it should be. And that, I think, was the coolest thing of like, yes, I'm proud of OU and Coach Gasso and that team and what they've done. But also, it just made me so excited for softball because this is what our sport should look like. I see that and I'm like, man, like the potential for what it could be for who wants to come and watch those games in that kind of facility. It's incredible. So I'm excited.
I just love that the game itself keeps elevating itself. Like, I love your breakdown of, you know, that wasn't the original field. Like, we literally started it like a park, and like a lot of programs started there. And like over time, I mean, even Purdue. So when I was a senior, we got this $13 million stadium built, and like, I kind of felt almost the same. It's like, look how far this game has come. And like, we're still very new, you know? Yeah. So how cool is that? You literally are able to say that you helped build this culture too. And I know you're a humble person and you're probably like, no, like I'm just one person, but you really, you know, watching you play those 5 years at OU and, you know, now being able to call you a friend, it's been so cool to see, you know, you're giving back to the game now, but you know, how you've grown from as a player and now broadcasting and now doing these Chalk Talks, which I'm excited to hear about. You're a professional athlete. Like, these are all ways that the game has grown and you're just like literally in it. Does it ever like, do you ever pinch yourself and be like, where am I?
I did have a moment a couple of weeks ago because in the midst of trying to do everything, it gets really chaotic. And sometimes, honestly, like it's stressful and overwhelming. And I had to take like a moment where I was like, I gotta like reset. And then I was just thinking about like, man, how lucky is it? Yes, it's crazy. It's hectic, but how crazy is it that I get to create my own schedule, that I get to make a living off of the sport that I love. And I get to do that full time. And I got to choose that. And that was an option for me when, if you'd asked me whenever I was in high school, is this something that you might want to do? I would have been like, heck no, like no shot. Absolutely not. Like when my time's done, my time's done. And it's cool to see how, like you mentioned, there's different avenues to your time being able to be extended in the sport of softball. It's not just coaching or that's it, right? You can play, you can work on the mental side, you can do broadcasting. Like there's so many avenues now available for a career in softball. It's not so limited, which I think that was like, pinch me, holy cow, I get to do a lot of those options. And I love it. It's awesome.
Amazing. Well, I want to get to know a little bit about high school Mendy. So can you share with us a little bit of your softball journey from maybe when you started, what moments impacted you? When did you decide you wanted to play for Oklahoma? Like, these are all things that I think people can kind of, you know, especially athletes that listen, like learn kind of from your story a little bit, the good, the bad, the ugly. What are some big moments from your story that you want to share?
So I would say in high school, the rules were a little bit different. So I got recruited in middle school. But I think the way that I went about the recruiting process, I was so blessed to have so many people around me to pour into me and give me really good advice that I think it still applies to somebody if they're in high school right now. But I think first and foremost, my travel ball coach, Glenn Bennett, he had a daughter. Her name was Lexi Bennett. She played at UT, and I just got to sit down with her and go like, hey, you played at a big D1. You got recruited. Tell me all about it. Cause I'm starting to get these calls from coaches and I have no idea what to do. Like, I'm freaking out cause I'm talking to this college coach. And whenever my parents say, think of questions to ask, first thing that pops in my head is, what's your favorite color? Now, granted, if you're in high school, that's probably not the first question that you think of, but it is really hard to think of those questions and to go, okay, what's going to help me really understand who this coach is, what this program is, what this school is about, and help me understand what do I want to? It's not just a one-way transaction. And so she was able to sit me down, and for her, she was saying, I loved UT. Like, I wouldn't change it for the world, but I do wish that I had gone on other visits, that I do wish that I had talked to other coaches and just explored a little bit more. She said, again, never regretted it, but I do wish I took in that part of the recruiting process. And so my parents were great. They said, all right, we're going all in. And then for me, something that really helped me is keeping a pros and cons list of each school. So the first school that I went to, I'd never been on a college campus exploring it before. Everything wowed me, right? And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then I go on another visit, and I start to understand, okay, this is normal. This facility, this program, this thing that they offer, you don't see that at every college. And I didn't know that until I started visiting others. And so that really helped me make that pros and cons list of, wow, I really like it whenever a school, a program, a coach has this. It's kind of a con for me if it has XYZ. And so being able to think through that, I was able to come up with questions. And honestly, I just wrote down a list of questions of things to ask coaches about. So for me, what ended up being in my top five questions was, what is team culture like? What is your faith like as an individual? Is there any opportunities to grow your faith on campus, within athletes, within campus? Because that to me was something that was super important. What kind of educational opportunities are there as far as, obviously I'm going to get an education, I'm going to get my school paid for, but beyond that, like, what else do you guys offer? And it might be science focused, it might be broadcasting focused, it might be English focused, whatever it is that you're interested in, finding things that you want in that specific program. And then the fifth and final is, how do you compete? You could have the world's best synergy as a team, but if you're not pushing the limit, if you're not seeking a certain standard, to me, I was like, I kind of don't know if I want that. I originally started off saying, I'm going to go to a team that's like a no-name nobody, and I'm going to help put them on the map. That's what I wanted. And there were some teams that are good. But I talked to Coach Gasso, and just hearing the way that she talked about herself, that she talked about her faith and just her standards for her team, I was like, man, like, I want that. I want to live in that world. And I knew going to college, I'm going to become the person that's going to set my foundation. So if I am surrounding myself with somebody who's like this, I'm putting a pretty good foundation in place for not just college, but after college, how do I view the world? And that was the first time I had ever left my parents, really. And for me, that was really important to have a coach in a program that wasn't just good at softball, but just high standards all across the board.
Mm. I'm guessing she talked about her culture in a way to where you lived it and those things aligned. Like, yeah. I'm sure you went on some visits where, like, you were told one thing and, you know, they maybe didn't deliver on that visit. Or, like, I think a lot of times I hear athletes that are like, yeah, they sold me on this. And then it wasn't like that at all. But my guess is it was exactly the same.
It was. And honestly, I made a lot of friends who I met on the recruiting trail. And after freshman year, a lot of them were from Texas. We came back, we're coaching travel ball. We see each other, hey, what's up? How's it been? And just hearing their experiences, you're like, whoa, I never would have expected that from that coach, good or bad. But you don't always see the truth whenever you're getting recruited. And again, I think that's doing due diligence to your questions. and the kind of questions and the way you word them, it's easy to be like, how's the culture? And the coach can be like, the culture is great. Da, 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 da. These are all the great things. But a question of what do you do whenever culture is being threatened? Like, how does your team handle that? The coach has to answer that. And you as a player, like, you're interviewing the coach, you're interviewing the college. I mean, you're investing your time there. They're going to get a lot of effort, blood, sweat, and tears out of you. So I found out throughout time and throughout experience, phrasing my questions in a way that I can try to get to the bottom of things, right? Because you can ask the players, but sometimes the players are going to say the same thing. Yeah, it's great. And then you get there and they're like, why'd you come here? You know? And you're like, you said it was great. And so just being really intentional about the questions that you ask and not just ones that are so straightforward, but that you really are able to get a legitimate answer out of future teammates, out of future coaches. And then obviously, like, faith is important to me. So I prayed a lot. Like, when I say I prayed a lot, I was like, dear God, like, give me a sign, help me guide this way, close this door, open this door. But I was seriously really relying on him a lot because I had no idea. I had no idea. And so if it wasn't by his grace, I definitely would have ended up at Oklahoma.
That's so cool because you even said you wanted to go to a program and put them on the map, but this program was kind of on the map already.
Yeah.
Crazy. So what is that change? Like, it was it specifically, you know, and I love that you talked about, like, what are your questions? What's your list of pros and cons? Like, this is stuff that, like, you know, September 1st is going to come around for a lot of sophomores and it's going to be the first time they talk to coaches. And this is such a good breakdown of, like, how to be prepared and get yourself ready. But can you share with us, like, a little bit of, from a cultural standpoint, for those parents or coaches out there that, you know, want their athlete to be challenged, but also, like, want to be challenged, like, as the athlete, but also what about the culture at Oklahoma is something that, you know, coaches can look at and be like, wow, we should start establishing this. And how were those things established?
I think Coach Gasso does such a great job of creating a culture that doesn't just happen for 1 year, but creating a culture that feeds into itself. So that's why year after year, you see a lot of success. And so how she does that is she says, if I can get a group of 6 or 7 girls to buy in on a team, that's it. We are excellent. We're going to be so good that year because not everybody on the team is going to be 100% bought in. And she said she learned this in, like, a gym class. She said one time I was a gym teacher and there's these 2 girls out of this whole gym class. And they were like, I don't really want to go. And she said, she whispered, come on, it's going to be fun. Like, trying to do things to draw them in. And then one day she realized, I'm so focused on those 2 girls that this entire class is feeling the neglect, who want to be there. They're feeling neglect because I'm not focusing on them. And so she realized from then on, she's like, I'm just going to focus on the ones who want to be there. And whenever you're having fun, people are like, oh, what's that? What's going on? What's going on over there? And they slowly get drawn in and they get bought in. And so that's kind of her philosophy, is find that core group, get them to buy in. And it's genuine. It's a genuine buy-in. And through that, other people are like, oh, what's that? But how do you do that? How do you do that? And I think the coolest thing about it is she teaches her players not only how to have it, but also how to teach it to other people. And so you do that by just setting up relationships, by having those conversations of, okay, like, what are you looking for? Like, let me get to know you. And then that way, you know how to approach them of, all right, you're kind of slacking a little bit. Like, this is our standard, right? And I can say this to you because we had that relationship. Or, hey, like, thanks for pointing that out to me because we had that relationship. And so you can hold me accountable. And it's something that goes both ways. And I think that's the biggest reason why Oklahoma is so successful, is there's freedom in that accountability. There's freedom in that standard of, we all know we want to be at a certain level. You want to be there, right? If you're bought in and you want to be there, you're open and you're welcoming that feedback. You're opening and you're welcoming that challenge. So I think that's what she does, and that's why they're able to repeat so often.
It's like almost player led. Like, yeah. It's like the culture's there and now the players are leading that culture.
Do you love this podcast? I mean, do you really love this podcast? Because if you do, you can help support it by wearing some gear that has our logo on it. Yes, you can find this logo on mugs, on t-shirts, tank tops, hats. The possibilities are basically endless. And if you love this podcast, you can help me support it by wearing some of the logo out on the ball field. All you have to do to get this discount is head to the show notes and you can find my online merch store, or you can do so at my website, www.ashleybturning.com. Tap on the merch tab and get shopping. Once you put all of the items in your cart that you want, you can then type in podcast 10, that's 10, at checkout and get $10 off. That's a real discount. Instead of these 10% discounts, which only get you like a dollar off or free shipping. No, 10 bucks can actually go a long way. So all you have to do, put the stuff in your cart, type in podcast 10 at checkout, and all of it is yours. And it'll be at your house before season starts, and you can start repping this podcast logo to all of your friends this summer. This is truly one of my favorite ways you can support the podcast. So thank you to those who have already purchased. And if you're thinking about purchasing, thank you for even thinking about it. I appreciate you so much for your support of this podcast. I would not be where I am without you. All right, let's head back to this episode.
Can you imagine, like, back when you first stepped on campus, like that fall of your freshman year? And of course, it's like a scary time for everybody, whether you're an athlete or not. Like, what were the things that, like, right away you focused on to help make sure, like, you're absorbing the culture, and maybe you were resisting it a little bit? Like, I know a lot of people, they do that. They're like, oh gosh, like, I don't know if I'm ready for all of this. But, you know, can you go back to what, you know, little Mendy was when she first stepped on Oklahoma's campus and what she experienced a little bit?
Yeah, scared. Absolutely. So I had grown up my whole life homeschooled. So I didn't know what to expect at all. I had only been inside a public school like twice before then. So I was nervous about class sizes. I was nervous about scheduling. Anytime you talk to any college player, any college athlete, the biggest thing that they tell you is time management. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't, how's that going to go? All that. But again, I think I was very fortunate. I had a really awesome catcher on the team, Leah Wodak, who day one of moving into campus, she texted me and was like, hey, like, heard you moved in. Like, you want to grab lunch after you're finishing setup? Like, let's just hang out. Day two, she texted and goes, hey, like, I'm just going to go hit. You want to come? So I was like, yeah, of course. Oh my gosh. Like, this is real. I get to hit. And so I went and I hit with her. And then day three, a couple of the girls invited the team over for dinner. Day four. And it was very warm and inviting. And I know not every program is like that, but I would say on the flip side, if you get to campus and you're like, I have no idea what to do, ask somebody who's on the team. Ask somebody who's really good or that you have looked up to or that you've met before, and just be like, hey, like, what are you up to? Like, hey, are you going to hit anytime soon? Like, you're added into a group chat. Like, you can just shoot something out and it feels scary because you're the odd man out. But I guarantee you those teammates have been there in that position before. They know what that feels like. They know how you're feeling. They're going to want to come and welcome you in. And so I think that helped me a lot, just having teammates who came in and just really welcomed and embraced me with open arms. But I think I struggled a lot in the fall as a freshman, just because that team, I always was really good, but going into college, everyone else is really good. And so it wasn't that I didn't feel like I wasn't good. It was just intimidating to be surrounded by people who are really good, going at a much faster pace, talking about words and languages and just a strategy to softball in a way that I had never even thought of, much less understood. And so that was overwhelming. And it took like 5 or 6 months for me to get used to it. And it was just through persistence of, okay, do you think Coach Gasso is a bad recruiter? No. Okay, do you think you got here by accident? No. Okay, accept that role, accept that, embrace it, and allow yourself to fully embrace your time here. And I think the biggest thing that really took me out of that was I'm a player who, whenever I feel prepared, I feel relaxed. And so in the fall, there was so much going on in the very beginning that I was like, I don't know what to do. And I kind of had to go, okay, you don't know what to do, but you got to do something. And so for me, it was having a moment of like, all right, like you're going to put in practice, you're going to put in reps. And so I started putting more reps, and it took a while to catch up. I was playing catch up and it took a while, but that moment came and I was definitely improving. And then I just think of this moment, there's this game and it switched everything for me. And it wasn't because I got to play. It was actually because I was the only player that didn't get an at bat. And I know JT didn't do this on purpose, but he was like, everybody who hits got a chance to hit. And I was just sitting there and I was like, that sucks, because he didn't even remember me. And so knowing JT, knowing who he is, like, that wasn't intentional. But at the same time, I was so fearful and so scared that it was making me forgettable. And so that moment on, I was like, all right, like enough of this. Like, you can't play scared. You have to play aggressive. And I reached out to Sid Romero and I was like, you got it going on. I'm going to stick to you. And so we hit together a lot. I hit with Leo Wodak a lot. I hit on my own a lot. And I was just saying, what's the worst that can happen? You know, you already are not playing. So how do you get out of that? And I think that moment for me, I think every softball player has that moment whenever they're like, all right, I got to turn it on. That was my moment where I was like, I got to buy in, because otherwise I'm going to be left like those girls in gym class, just sitting off to the side going, yeah, I don't, it kind of looks fun, but like, I don't want to go. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I'm just going to sit on the sidelines.
Wow. That is such an amazing story. Oh my goodness. Okay. So I've heard this quote before, and it has everything to do with what you said. You like latched onto people that were great. And this quote is like, you become the 5 people that you surround yourself with the most. I'm sure you've heard that one. And like, how cool is it that you went and like found another level, found those people that are like getting it done. And you're like, I need to spend time with you. And like, that is probably the reason why you started thinking different, playing different, like believing in yourself more, is because you're around people that are doing that.
Oh, absolutely.
And oh my gosh, is that awesome. And like, how cool is like, they were just probably welcoming. They're like, sure, like come hit with me, you know?
The cool part about that is it's not just freshman year. Like, that was something that I had to work through and struggle with my whole career, like even now, right? And being able to latch on to people who have it going on, you are able to switch into that mindset. So it's not just like a freshman year kind of thing. It's a forever kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure as you were an upperclassman, you were that inviting person like Leo Wodak was for you. And like, you got your other freshmen and sophomores to kind of latch on to you. Did you do a little bit of that too?
So the team tradition was first weekend, we invite everybody over and we just have a team dinner and like we play games, we get to know each other. There's lots of laughs. Like, I just want you to feel comfortable. And it wasn't just a one-time thing, but it was a priority throughout the whole season of, I want to spend intentional time with you one-on-one in a group, that kind of thing, always extending invites. Because again, we talked about relationships and synergy. That doesn't work if you don't have that relationship with somebody. The stuff on field becomes great whenever the relationships happen off field.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself now as a professional athlete, like leaning into those traits that you learned at OU to then like navigate? Because I know when I turned pro, it was like, oh gosh, like now it's a whole new slate. There's no really culture like there is, but there isn't. Like, you kind of have to create your own new culture. How did you go about navigating that as a pro?
So my first year as a pro was weird. Again, playing catch up. So graduating college, I went straight into the Olympics. I got to Tokyo, and day one that I was there, I like tore a ligament in my ankle. And so I was like, I'm still playing. It's the Olympics. Like, this doesn't happen often. And so I played, but my ankle is pretty messed up. So I had to take a whole year off. AU had reached out a little bit later, and I wasn't expecting to play. Like, I had no idea what I was going to do. I went back to grad school to try and figure it out. And AU was like, hey, like, are you interested? And I was like, yes. And then I was like, shoot, I haven't practiced in like a year. This is crazy. And so rookie year, that was really different. And then also the environment of AU, it's 60 girls. So you get the synergy of everybody who's playing, but you don't have that same type of synergy as this is my team. I'm with them ride or die throughout the whole season. So that was really different trying to navigate. And there's different levels. Everyone, you have your rookies who are like fresh out of college and they're like, yeah, I'm ready to go, like trying to figure stuff out. Then you have your vets who they have been there, they've done that, their experience. So there's a lot of different experiences, different age groups, different levels that you're trying to juggle and just trying to find your space in. But again, finding somebody who has it going on and just trying to stick to them helps a lot.
Yeah, that's so great. And I love that you kind of, it's funny because sometimes we feel like we have to reinvent the wheel and be like, okay, new moment. Like, we have to try something new, but it's the same like strategy that got you to where you were that you have to go do. And it's funny because hindsight's 2020. I stopped playing, like, I think it was like 2016, 2017. And like, it's 2024 now. Like, if I could go back, I could probably be a lot better mentally. But it's so cool that you're able to kind of stay in it and still work on these things like as a pro. I really want to know though. So I remember like watching play for OU, and like you were literally pulled from like right field, I think, and like thrown into pitch. Yeah. And I was like, this girl pitches. Like, out of my head, I'm just like, what? She's all over the place. Like, what a competitor. I want to get to know you as a competitor, as someone who's like, give me the ball, I want to get it done. Where did that come from? Where did that fire come from? Like, want the ball in your hand? And have you always wanted the ball in your hand?
I think I always wanted the ball in my hand. I like doing things and doing things really good. So if I'm going to do it, I want to be really good at it. And I know that that takes practice. And I think of my travel ball team. Whenever I was like 12, we had a break and we played dodgeball in the street and we were just hanging out. And I was so competitive to the point where people were like, hey, like, kind of maybe like relax a little bit. But I just wanted to win so badly, and I hated losing. It left a nasty taste in my mouth. And whenever I got to Oklahoma, that was kind of the mindset there of like, if you lose, it's not just like, oh, we'll get them next time. It's just like, man, like, that leaves a nasty taste in your mouth. Like, how can you be better? How can you avoid that happening ever again? You know, and it seems super dramatic. Of course, you're going to lose again. Of course, you're going to fail. Of course, you're going to struggle. But the whole point of it was, how can you learn from what happened so you can get better? And that, I think, is where I loved that competitive challenge of like, how can I be better? And I think that's one side of being a competitor, is like searching for that through failure. And then I think another side of it, it's like whenever those moments get big, like, your heart's beating, you might be nervous, but it's literally a moment where you look at the pitcher or you look at the hitter and you go, I'm going to win this. And no matter what, I'm going to get a hit. No matter what, she won't get on base. And having that literal self-talk in your head and turning on that switch and going, all right, game on, here we go. And I love those moments. I always did so good in postseason. And Coach would always say, it's like a flip switches. Like, it's just crazy. And I love those big moments. I think they're fun. I think that's what I train for. And it's just fun to compete that way. So I think growing up and wanting to compete and wanting to learn how to be my best. And then also once I got to Oklahoma, like learning, we don't like losing because it leaves a bad taste in the mouth. How can you learn from it? But also how can you step up big? I think that's what contributed to my love of competition.
This is so fun to get to know how Mindy thinks. Did you ever find that like maybe you like for a second didn't want the ball in your hand, or you were a little bit more timid or nervous for any sort of pressure situation or whatever? Did you almost have to like fake it and just be like, okay, what has worked before? I'm going to tell myself I got this and I'm just going to repeat it. Like, what do you do in those moments? Or are you just always that way?
No, absolutely not. Talked about it in college. I've felt that in pro, like that imposter syndrome of like, what the heck am I doing here? I don't belong here kind of feeling. And I found there's two different kinds of faking it, right? You always hear fake it till you make it, but it's like, okay, like how does it make it, right? And there's the faking it of like, you're so good, like you got this, like you're gonna do it, all that kind of stuff. And I have found that kind of faking it does not really help. You're just kind of still doing it. I have found that instead of thinking fake it, thinking like, what if, you know, like, okay, what if this horrible thing that I'm thinking about happens? What if that happens? Then what? Life still goes on, right?
But like, but what if in like a positive way, it sounds like.
Yeah. And it's like, what if this big thing happens that I'm so scared of? If it happens, what happens next?
Mm.
Nothing. You get another at bat. You get another chance. Like, okay. And that always helped me relax a little bit. And then also it helped me go from pressing to competing of like pressing of I don't belong here. I have to prove that I'm worthy. I have to get this hit. I have to do this, and this to I want to compete. Like, I'm enjoying this moment. I want this challenge. Like, I want this opportunity. And it's not an easy shift to do. And it has to be something that you consciously think about and catch yourself. Oh, what if I get to, and that kind of verbiage, that has helped a lot. But it's something that, I mean, I, as an athlete, I struggle with, and I have to practice it, and I have to be really intentional with it.
Are you only practicing it in games, or is this stuff that you instill in your physical practices?
Physical practices. I think at a certain age, practicing your form, practicing reps, practicing how my bat needs to go here on this pitch, what I need to do on this pitch, that's all great. But once you get to a certain level, you have to start incorporating challenges. You have to start incorporating strategy, like that mental game, into your practices. Because if you don't, you don't know how to handle it. And just like how you have to continue getting reps at bats, or how you continue have to practice pitching. Otherwise, it's going to be really hard to be consistent. You have to do the same thing with the mental. Otherwise, it's going to be really hard to be consistent with your mental game.
Can you give us like one or two strategies that you did in your practice to help that mental game?
Yeah. I did this the other day. I was giving a lesson with one of my girls and I was like, you know what? I'm going to hop in. And we had like a 9-hole net and we put it halfway through the cage and we played tic-tac-toe. And it was just a challenge. And she was saying like, man, physically, like today was a really tough day at practice. I was like, I get that. I've been there. She went to warm up and hit and her legs were shaking. I was like, all right, today, like, we're just going to do a mental focus day. We're not going to work on any form or anything. We're just going to see how long can I focus in? Can I focus in for this one swing? And so we played tic-tac-toe with a 9-hole net halfway down the cage. And we had a blast doing it. But whenever we were swinging, she would be so focused and so locked in. Whenever I was swinging, I mean, I felt the competition, right? I would be so focused and so locked in. And it doesn't always have to be something that's super serious. It can be fun and light like that. Or it can be, all right, today I'm hitting off the machine and I'm hitting off a front toss. I'm just going to give myself certain pitches. So I want you to throw fastballs, changeups, or inside, outside. And I'm only going to hit one side of the plate. I'm only going to look for one side of the plate. I'm going to give myself certain counts and I want to execute those counts. I'm going to try to hit all line drives, like whatever it is, but finding something to focus on and challenge yourself.
Amazing. This has been so insightful. To be completely honest, I didn't know we were going to go into all of these epic avenues, but I am so grateful that you could share some of this stuff with us, because a lot of these strategies are brand new. And like even the stuff you're talking about culture, like through this podcast, I mean, it's like we have talked about this and it is so good to see and learn how an Olympian, how a professional, how a national champion thinks. Like, oh, this is so much fun. And I wish we could do this for like 4 more hours. But you are up to so much right now. What are some of your passion projects that you're up to? Where can people find you, listen to you, watch you right now?
Yeah. So biggest and newest thing that I'm doing is I'm doing a podcast that covers Big 12. So anything Big 12 related, I'm covering it. It airs every Tuesday at 6 p.m. So I actually have an episode dropping weekly. And then you can find that on Softball America on their YouTube channel. Like and subscribe. And I think that has been just so fun, just diving into that side of softball, of just not necessarily analyzing the game as it happens, but just reflecting and just observing and reporting. I am doing a little bit, I call them my chalk talks. So it's just working on the mental game, whether it's what does it look like to prepare yourself to get recruited? What does it look like whenever you're preparing to go to college? What does it look like once you're there in college? How do you strategize as a softball player? How do you improve your softball IQ? All those things I kind of encompass and talk about, like, what does it mean to have a standard, elevate and stay there? How do you get that buy-in? And I'm working with a couple teams this spring and it's really cool. And I'm about to start on a several month journey with 4 teams that we're just going to deep dive. And I'm so excited about that. I've found that that has been a big passion of mine. And then, training. I'm in Dallas. I'm training at Exos with Jossie. We work out in the mornings and we hit and we go home really sweaty and tired. And we're like, all right, nap time. And then we get going with the rest of the stuff in our day. But that has been honestly like such a highlight of having somebody to work out with, somebody to train with, because it is hard doing it on your own. I learned that the hard way my first year of pro. And I will not take for granted having a throwing partner, having a front toss partner. I just really, really just appreciate having her there. I know she feels the same way. So it's been really great. And then broadcasting. I had to think about like, man, what all am I doing? I'm calling a lot of softball games. And that has been so fun. I always laugh because I'm like, they're so silly. Like, I do this for free at home, but you're going to pay me to do it on TV. Like, how cool is that? And I love it. I love it. I love breaking down the game and talking about what I got to learn as a player, but not making it about me. Like, I don't want to talk about myself. I want to talk about what's happening on the field and then just giving them the insight of what the player's probably thinking. Like, that fine balance has been so fun to watch. Plus, I get to see a lot of really good softball.
So good. And you are so good at broadcasting. Like it's I enjoy thoroughly listening to you. And how cool that you literally found Jocelyn Allo, one of the best players to ever play the game. And you found her and you're latching onto her and you're training with her. Like these things are helping make you the best at what you do. And I just loved hearing your stories about how you've become who you are. And I can't wait to see what's next. Like you're up to so much, I know, but like, I just know greatness is coming for you just because you keep adopting these practices into your life. This is so fun. And the podcast, just so we are aware, it's 12 teams, 2 rings. Is that what it's called?
10 teams, 2 rings. So
10 teams, 2 rings.
12, dang. You can get 2 rings. You can get the conference tournament and then you can get the Big 12 tournament. So yeah, it's
okay.
Awesome.
I will make sure all of those outlets are tagged in the show notes. But before we go, I know you have to go on to another call, but I'm just going to break down one question for you. I normally do 5, but I think this one's going to be a big one. Parents out there that want to do great by their kids, they want their kids to thrive. Can you share a little bit of what your parents meant for you in your journey to become who you are today?
everything. They were great. I think the biggest thing that I'm grateful for is they always told me how much they believed in me. And they always told me, you can do anything that you want to do. And then on top of that, they always told me, like, hey, like, if you want to be great, you have to put in the work. You have to push yourself to be better. And they always never really just accepted good enough. They didn't force it on me, but they were saying, I think you can be better. I think you can improve. I think there's another level because I think you can reach that goal. And so I think those two in tandem helped a ton, a ton.
Amazing. I'm so grateful you could spend your time with us today. I know you have a huge list of other things you got to get to, but thank you so much, Mendy, for hanging out with us. And I can't wait to get this episode live.
I loved it. Well, thank you for having me. I had a blast.
Man, I love this human. Can you just tell that Mendy's love of the game runs deep? And I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit of what the inside of the ropes of Oklahoma softball and their outstanding culture and how it's led them to 7 national championships and continued success. I'm so grateful for Nicole, not just because she agreed to come on the show, but because she actually poured her heart into this episode, sharing some of her vulnerabilities and things that we all go through as athletes. I'm so grateful for her. I wish her the most continued success in her own career and this awesome new chapter that she's in now. And if you enjoyed this episode, you can follow Mendy on her social platforms. I have all of those links in the show notes. And let me know inside the When the Cleats Come Off Facebook community which parts you loved most. And my mission is to get the word of this podcast out. And you can help me do that by sharing this with at least one person in your softball tribe so they can see how great this podcast is and learn, just like you, how to be better in the game. I can't wait to bring you another episode next week. But until then, stay awkward, stay humble, and of course, keep smiling. I'll see you next week.